Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Padma Hansa, Paravaja Kacharya, Stara Satashi, Shimad,
Stavangri Sisi Bhakti Vidanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paravajakacharya Stara Satishi Srimad Stavangri Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Ananta Kota Vaishnavinda Ki Iskan Founder Acharya Stavangri Srila Prabhupada Ki Dhammacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Vemse Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Har Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kundagiri Govardhan Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Navadip Mayapur Dham Ki Ganga Maye Ki Yamuna Maye Ki Tulsi Devi Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Sankirtan Yagya Ki Harinam Sankirtan Ki Garantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Ki Gopremananda. Glorious to the assembled devotees. Glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Anything I should know about translating? I mean, he's never translated for me before. Sometimes devotees need really, really short. I don't. Okay. So we're just reading. 8th verse, right? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 11th chapter, 8th verse. Satyam,
Daya,
Tapa,
Saucham,
Tik Tik Sheka, Shamo, Dhamma,
Ahimsa,
Brahmacharyam,
Cha,
Tyaga, Swadhyaya,
Arjavam,
Satyam Dayatapa, Savcham, Titikshika,
Shamo, Dhamma,
Ahimsa Brahmacharyam
cha
Tyaga Swadhyaya Arjavam
Satyam Daya Tapa
Saucham Titikshika
Samodama
Ahimsa Brahmacharyam
cha
Tyaga Swadhyaya Arjavam
Satyam Daya Tapa
Saucham Titikshika
Samodama
Ahimsa Brahmacharyam
cha
Tyaga Swadhyaya
Arjavam
Satyam Daya Tapakshocham
Satyam Daya Tapakshocham
Tikshiksha Samodama
Tikshiksha Samodama
Ahimsa Brahmacharyam
cha Ahimsa Brahmacharyam
cha Tyaga Swadhyaya Arjavam
Tyaga Swadhyaya Arjavam.
Om Agyanata Marandasya Gananjana Svakaya Chakshu Unmiritam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Angum Langaya Te Garin Yad Kipa Tamaham Vande Shri Gunam Dinataranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane. Namaste Sarasate Devi Gauravani Pacharane. Nirvishesha Shanyavari Paschacha De Satarane. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I was told that today the topic for discussion is ahimsa, or non-violence. However, I would like to, before speaking specifically about ahimsa, I would like to put these verses into context.
De mielőtt konkrétan az ahimszáról beszélnék, szeretném ezt a verset így a környezetében elhelyezni.
Briefly.
Gyorsan.
Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary to these verses, he puts these different qualities into perspective, which Srila Prabhupada also does in the purport, but this is more concise. Srila Prabhupada covers this topic in many different purports, not just this purport. But this is just two sentences from Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur. He says in five verses, bhakti yoga, common for all humans, is described. The first 21 items are assistant items for bhakti. The items starting with hearing are direct bhakti. That's it. As far as reading it from the commentary, not the end of class. But what he's actually saying here is in these, I guess there's 30 qualities here, and I heard you're discussing 21 of them. at least that's the number I was given. Weird, yes? No, I'm not implying you're not interested in direct devotional service. Believe me. But there's a good reason to put emphasis on the first 21. And that's what I want to bring to light. Because oftentimes we always hear, especially one famous verse Prabhupada quotes all the time, yas yasti bhakti bhagavachin kinchana savaya gunai satcha samasate sura harava bhakya mahagunukta manonate nasati davato bihi. Whereas verse he describes that all the good qualities become manifest in a devotee. And sometimes, I won't even go through the whole verse. That's the essence of the verse. All good qualities manifest in one who's engaged in pure devotional service. So, one may tend to think that if I simply engage in devotional service, all good qualities will come. I just have to be patient with myself, and I have to be patient with everybody else too.
és hogy magammal szemben is türelmesnek kell lenni, és mindenki más is legyen türelmes.
And nonetheless, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is explaining that these first 21 qualities are assistance to bhakti. If bhakti has an assistant, then certainly we should take help from the assistant. Our understanding is we need as much help as we can get. Certainly we take help from the association of pure Vaishnavas. And we get, through the association of pure Vaishnavas, we get strength for pure devotional service, by which automatically these qualities will manifest.
És a tiszta bakták segítsége által erőt kapunk ahhoz, hogy végezzük a tiszta adódó szolgálatot, ami által majd ezek a jó tulajdonságok megnyilvánulnak.
But what to do in the meantime?
De mit tegyünk ezzel?
And therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is explaining that these assistants, in essence, these assistants to bhakti are Gaunar Dhamma, secondary devotional service. There is Mukhya Dhamma, which is primary activities of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Parasevanam. And then there was Gaunar Dhamma, and Gaunar Dhamma is that which assists one while one continues the process of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, except especially for those who are not absorbed in these activities. So in that way, we take help. Gaunar Dhamma means that which supports our bhakti. It's secondary. And that's why Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says the first 21 applies to all humans. Now, devotees are humans too. So, if the first 21 applies to humans, obviously applies to devotees as well. Or in my case, aspiring devotees. Or in my case, an aspiring devotee. But therefore, he says specifically that these first 21 applies to a human being. What's a human being? What does a human? How does a human being behave? So included in that list, of course, is ahimsa, to be non-violent, and that's what we need to talk about today. And Prabhupada, in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where he describes different processes of knowledge, humility, pridelessness, tolerance, non-violence, simplicity, what Krishna himself gives, which are qualities of a human being. Prabhupada defines ahimsa, non-violence, means that one should not do anything which will put others into misery or confusion. He elaborates on that, but there's not enough time to read the elaboration. But he gives two criteria first is what we just read, and the second is that which furthers the future spiritual happiness of people in general is called ahimsa.
És az elsőt akkor az előbb elmondtuk, a második pedig az a ahimsának a definíciója, hogy nem akadályozza az embereket a további lelki fejlődését.
So the first is to not put others into misery.
Az első, hogy nem okozunk másoknak szenvedést.
And there's another verse, which is in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, which also speaks about ahimsa. And this verse also includes a commentary by Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Sarasvati Thakur. Today's his appearance day, isn't it? So, this verse also speaks about not putting others into misery. I can't remember where it's from. Vaishnava hingsara kata sattuka dure sahaja jivare ya adama. Ye adama pidakare, Vishnu pujiya o ye pajara pidakare, puja o nishpale yaya aradukumari. It's quoted in Chaitanya Bhagavat, but I think that's a reference from an Upanishad. And the translation is what to speak of being envious of Vaishnavas. If one causes pain to ordinary living entities, he is considered a fallen, low-class person. Even after worshipping Lord Vishnu, if a person gives trouble to other living entities, his worship becomes fruitless. Such a person suffers unlimited miseries. That's the translation of the verse. That's the translation, tika, and now the tika. If a person is knowingly or unknowingly envious of a Vaishnava, engaged in the non-duplicitous service of Lord Hari, his degradation is inevitable. Of this, there's no doubt. Apart from this, if even persons claiming to be devotees of Vishnu are envious of ordinary living entities, and give various troubles to them, they are actually far away from devotional service to Vishnu. And they are not fit to be called human beings. Their worship of Vishnu, not only can they not be called Vaishnavas, but they can't even be called human beings. Their worship of Vishnu becomes a source of misery. Those endowed with an absence of jiva daya or compassion for other living entities, and yet proudly consider themselves servants of Lord Vishnu, they achieve the threefold miseries rather than the devotional service of the Lord. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's tika. Very closely related to the topic today of ahimsa, and also to the verses that we have read, or verses that are contained within the section of the Bhagavatam. So, oftentimes, there's a very ideal example which speaks about causing pain to others. And Lord Chaitanya himself uses this example. He uses this example in his explanation of the Atmarama verse. Now the Atmarama verse is the verse which describes how anybody can be attracted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by hearing his qualities, even impersonalists. But when he was expanding all the different words of the Atmarama verse, he spoke about one word, which was Nirgrantha. And he says that Nirgrantha combined with the word api actually implies a very low class person. And he even used the example of a hunter, low class person. A hunter in general is somebody who causes pain to other living entities. And he said that in this specific reference, there is a story about a hunter. And he says that how he wants to make the point that even a low-class person like a hunter, by his association with a devotee, he can develop all good qualities by association with devotee. And he used the example of Magari, who was not only a hunter who killed animals, but he was a hunter who half killed animals. And by half killing them, he was experiencing pleasure by seeing them suffer. So here's somebody who not only causes pain by killing animals, but he enjoys seeing them in pain, writhing in pain. Which obviously automatically suggests that he knows he's causing pain. And he knows because he can directly see it. Ah, just see these animals lying half dead. And when Narada Muni went to Prayag, he was coming by Vaikuntha, he actually came upon this place in Prayag where he saw animals writhing in pain with arrows that were in their bodies. First he saw a deer, then he saw a boar, then he came a little bit farther, and then he saw a rabbit.
hogy akkor látott egy őzert, aztán egy vaddisznót, aztán egy nyulat.
And then he looked up and he saw behind a tree there was a hunter.
És aztán látta, hogy egy fa mögött ott van a vadász.
And the hunter appeared to be the person who was behind this act.
És úgy tűnt, hogy ez a személy áll ezek mögött, a tettek mögött.
So he decided to approach the hunter.
És elhatározta, hogy megközelíti ezt a vadászt.
And when he approached the hunter, then all the other animals that were nearby, they fled.
És ahogy oda ment a vadászhoz, akkor az összes többi állat az ott elszaladt a környéken.
Because he came off the path to approach the hunter who was hiding behind the tree.
Mert hogy letért a ösvényről, hogy megközelítse a vadászt, aki a fa mögött rejtőzködött.
Of course, Magari, when he saw that Narada Muni was approaching, that he wanted to say some nasty words to him. But he saw, well, he's a saintly person, I better not say anything. And he said to, Narada Muni said to Magari, are you responsible for these animals lying here, half dead? And Magari said, yes, I am responsible. My name is Magari. I am the hunter. I'm a hunter. And he says, but why have you half killed them? Why are you causing them so much pain by half killing them? And Magari said, I've been taught this way from my childhood by my father. And I like it. I like seeing these animals suffer. So then Narada Muni said to Magari, he said, you are a hunter by nature. And he said, by nature, because you are a hunter, killing animals is a slight offense on your part.
Hogy azért, mert ez a természetet, hogy egy vadász vad, akkor azt, hogy megölöd ezeket az élőnyeket, akkor ez még a kisebbik probléma.
It's your profession, you're a hunter.
Ez a te foglalkozásod, hogy te egy vadász vagy.
But when you have killed them,
de azt, hogy félig ölöd meg őket,
you're willingly causing them pain.
Szándékosan még plusz fájdalmat okozol nekik.
I come to beg humbly something from you.
Azért jöttem ide, hogy alázatosan könyörögjek hozzád egy dologért.
And Magari said, what would you like? I have so many animal skins. Is that what you want? And Narada Muni said, no, I'm not interested in animal skins. I've come to beg from you.
Azért jöttem, hogy könyörögjek hozzád.
Please, just if you're going to kill these animals, kill them. Don't half kill them. And then he explained why. He says, because when you half kill them, you're purposely causing them pain. And anyone who purposely causes pain upon another living entity will get that back in the future. By his sinful activities. And then he elaborated on sinful activities. And the subsequent pain, which the person who causes pain to other living beings purposely, has to experience in the future. This is one of the qualities of a saintly person, of a devotee.
személynek a tulajdonsága.
A devotee cares about the sufferings of others.
Egy bhakta, ő foglalkozik azzal, hogy mások szenvednek.
And a devotee does not want to see, because a devotee is non-envious, he does not want to see others have to unnecessarily suffer.
Mivel ő nem ír így, akkor nem akarja látni, hogy mások feleslegesen szenvednek.
And because a devotee is non-envious,
és mivel ő nem ír így,
as described by Pallad Maharaj in the Srimad Bhagavatam, a non-envious person can think of the welfare of others.
Ahogy Pallad Maharaj elmagyarázza a Srimad Bhagavatamban, egy nem ír személy, ő tud gondolni másoknak a jólétére.
Therefore, Narada Muni's request to Murgari had impact on Murgari.
És ezért Narada Muni kérte Murgarit, hogy egy hatást akar feltenni.
And he started to think, is there a way I can avoid this suffering? He was a little thoughtful. And therefore, after due consideration, he decided to ask Narada, well, what do I have to do to not have to suffer for all the suffering I've caused to these other living entities? So sometimes in the course of preaching, sometimes we have to speak to people in such a way who may not be able to immediately take up devotional service and help them understand the consequences of their activities.
Hogy néha, amikor prédikálunk az embereknek, akkor úgy is kell tudnunk prédikálni, hogy ők lehet, hogy nem tudják rögtön elfogadni közvetlenül az odaadó szolgálatot, de hogy elmagyarázzuk nekik, hogy mi a tetteiknek a következménye.
Even Krishna did that to Arjuna in his instructions to the beginning when he spoke about Sakama Nishkama Yoga.
Még Krishna is csinálta ezt, amikor Arjunának elmagyarázta a Sakama és Nishkama Yogát.
He said, Arjuna, he said, if you don't fight, then there's going to be consequences. If you fight, you'll enjoy a kingdom. If you win, you'll enjoy a kingdom. And if you die, you'll get elevation. And if you don't fight,
de ha nem harcolsz,
you're going to be insulted.
Akkor csak mindenki belé fog közni.
You're going to be dishonored.
Akkor elveszted a megbecsülésedet.
And for one who's been honored, dishonor is worse than death.
És valaki, aki már egyszer nagy rendben tartottak, annak az, hogyha elveszíti ezt, az rosszabb, mint a halál.
So that was Krishna's preliminary instructions to Arjuna when he talked about Sakama Nishkama Yoga. Then he talked about Nishkama. Nishkama Yoga.
Ez Krishnának az ilyen előzetes utasítása Arjunának, amikor a Sakama Yogáról beszélt, és utána beszélt.
I won't go there because I'm looking at the clock and as I understand, class usually has to end at 5:30, right? Yes. Huh? If I go to 8:35, can I get away with it? No breakfast. I can go a little longer. Okay. Thank you. Okay. I was going to say something, but I won't say it. So even Krishna did this to Arjuna. Of course, he went farther with Arjuna, as well as Narada Muni, he went farther with Murgari. But the first thing he did, which got Murgari a little bit interested in hearing, is when he heard about the consequences that he was going to have to face.
Csinált, hogy felkeltette Murgarinak az érdeklődését, hogy mik lesznek azok a következmények, amik amikre szembe kell néznie.
Now anybody who knows about Nishkarma Karma Yoga or Nishkarma Yoga knows that this is not the highest platform to serve the Lord simply by meditating on the consequences that one will get. But a human being should think about consequences. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he speaks about Gaunar Dhamma and Mukhya Dhamma, he specifically says that in the platform of Gaunar Dhamma, one makes distinctions between what is papa and what is punya. What is papa, sinful activities which cause repeated suffering? And what is punya, what is pious activities which a human being should try to develop? These are assistants to bhakti. To discriminate on this platform. One comes to the platform of bhakti, then automatically good qualities will be there. And in fact, that point is even made by Narada Muni to Magari. We know the whole story with Magari. I won't go into all the details. But when Magari surrendered and asked Narada Muni, what do I do? Narada Muni said, well, break your bow. How will I live if I break my bow? I'm a hunter by profession. I don't know anything else. Well, Narada Muni said, don't worry. I'll take care of it. I'll provide. Just break your bow. So Magari surrendered and he broke his bow. And there was, we know Prabhupada at that point in that commentary, Prabhupada very famously says, this is initiation. Initiation is when the candidate for bhakti, he breaks his identification with the bodily concept of life and he takes shelter in Mukhya Dhamma. When actually he takes shelter of two things. Because what does he do? The nishedas, vidis, positive activities, and the nishedas are activities that one should avoid, which he takes a vow of at the time of initiation. I won't eat meat, no violence, I won't gamble, no intoxication, no illicit sex. These are human beings. This is how a human being lives, right? These are assistants to bhakti. When Krishna tells Arjuna, Atta chitam sigmad haktam nashin saknoshi mai stiranam abhyasa yogendra tato mami chaptam dananjaya, just, if you can't fix your mind on me, follow the regular principles of bhakti yoga, and this way, develop a desire to attain me. So Krishna didn't tell Arjuna, no illicit sex, no meeting, intoxication, no gambling. He wasn't talking about those regulative principles.
Krishna
Those are the regulative principles of human life. Don't follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga, which is the hearing and chanting about me. In a regulated way. And this way you'll develop the desire to attain me. So, therefore, Magari broke the bow. And Prabhupada says this is initiation. And then Narada Muni instructed him how to live. He told them to go to your home, give away all your things, go to the banks of the Ganges River, and build a little hut there, and chant Hare Krishna. And take shelter of the holy name of the Lord. And worship Tulsi. So, of course, Magari did this. And all of his necessities of life were provided as Narada Muni suggested they would be. And then at some point later, Narada Muni was talking to Parvat Muni about his disciple Magari. And he decided to bring Parvat Muni to go and to meet Magari. Two of them came to that place, and when Magari saw Narada Muni and Parvat Muni approaching, as we know that he wanted to prostrate himself and do full dandavats, but he didn't because there were some ants lying on the path. So the first thing he did was he took off his chadar and he swept the path so the ants could be separated. And then he paid his full dandavas to Narada Muni and to Parvat Muni. And then Parvat Muni said, just see what you have done. Previously this person was causing so much pain, so much harm to other living entities, but now he doesn't even want to lie down and even disturb an ant. And Narada Muni actually said to Magari, two verses. He said, my dear hunter, such behavior is not at all astonishing. A man in devotional service is automatically non-violent. He's the best of gentlemen. O hunter, good qualities like non-violence, which you have developed, are not very astonishing.
Ó, vadász, az ilyen jó tulajdonság, mint az erőszak nélküliség, amit kifejlesztettél, egyáltalán nem meglepő.
For those engaged in the Lord's devotional service,
azok számára, akik az úrodadó szolgálatába foglalják magukat,
are never inclined to give pain to others because of envy.
Soha nem ébredt olyan vágy, hogy szenvedést okozzanak más élőnyeknek, irigységük miatt.
So, now, Narada Muni is saying the same thing about a devotee. He's never inclined to cause pain to others. However, we've given this example before, but it's appropriate, I believe, in this connection. that there is another way of causing pain to others with arrows. And this way of causing pain to arrows is not with the arrows that we fire from a bow. But this example is given by Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī, where he talks about how Vaiṣṇavas respect all living beings. That is the quality of a Vaiṣṇava. He respects all, not all human beings, even all living entities actually. We just quoted the verse, Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta, from Chaitanya Bhagavat, where he talked about one should never cause pain to other living entities. One who causes pain to other living entities is not actually a Vaiṣṇava. In fact, this same verse is also quoted elsewhere in Chaitanya Bhagavat, where Lord Chaitanya said to, I can't remember to whom he said it, it might have been Mukunda, that a Vaiṣṇava, one who causes pains to others, is like coming to my feet and offering flowers and with one hand, and with his other hand like taking a club and beating me on the head. Because one who causes pain to others causes pain to me. Because I am the super soul in the heart of all living beings. Lord Chaitanya used that same example in that particular reference from Chaitanya Bhagavat. And quoted that same verse. So there's another type of pain, of causing pain to others with using arrows. And Jiva Goswami uses a verse from the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where he says that sharp arrows that pierce the chest and reach the heart they are not as painful as the arrows of insulting words of a materialist. Which become lodged in the heart. He said, and Jiva Goswami even says that the emphasis is that it's more painful, these arrows are more painful than the first arrows. He said, not the opposite. And he says, because the example is comes afterwards, there's more emphasis on it. It's more painful. So, when the arrow becomes lodged in the heart, it's even more painful. And what is he speaking about? Those arrows are not arrows shot with a bow. Those are the arrows which are shot with the tongue. The insulting words, wanting to see others suffer by insulting. A Vaiṣṇava never wants to purposely cause suffering to somebody else. Lord Chaitanya even says in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he says, I declare that anyone who chants my holy name and never criticizes ever living any living entity, I will deliver him.
Hogyha valaki az én nevemet énekli, és soha nem kritizál más élőlényeket, akkor én felszabadítom őt.
And that's what he says, that because all living entities are my parts and parcels.
Mivel minden élőlény az én szerves részem.
Now, of course, you know, sometimes even Prabhupada spoke critically about non-devotees.
Persze tudjuk, hogy néha Prabhupada is nagyon kritikusan beszélt a baktákról.
But generally he spoke critically because sometimes as the spiritual master he has to speak about, Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about this in Sri Bhakti Loka. That when speaking about others, sometimes the spiritual master has to conclude a point by pointing to bad examples. And he gave different examples, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He gave the example of Sukadev Goswami when he talked about householders who at night enjoy sex at night and during the day they're simply interested in making money. So he's spoken about them in a general way. And spoke about Lord Chaitanya, who in a also spoke about in an indirect way about Chota Haridas. When he said, "I cannot tolerate seeing the face of a renunciate who intimately associates with a woman." My mind becomes so disturbed that I can't even control my mind. So he was speaking indirectly. Speaking indirectly about Chota Haridas. He had to say something in order to make a point. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur also used, sometimes it's even necessary when instructing others that one even has to name somebody. As Shukadev Goswami did when he named King Vena in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So sometimes when instructing, somebody may have to say something in order to teach and make the point complete. This is a bad example. Be careful. But such instructions are given by one whose heart is freed from envy, hatred, and pride. And anybody who speaks about others in an insulting or critical way, whose heart is not freed from envy, hatred, or pride. Is potentially causing pain to others. And therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in Bhakti Yoga, one has to be very careful that anyone who speaks about others in a critical way out of envy, hatred, or pride is an offender of Bhakti Devi. And his mind can never be peaceful. Never be peaceful. This is one of the consequences. Sometimes we need to hear consequences. Just like Narada Muni woke up Magari by telling him about consequences. Same thing. In the same way, sometimes we need to hear as our acharyas are instructing us in such a way to help us so we can avoid consequences.
Hogy következményeket, hogy akkor elgondolkozzunk és megpróbáljuk elkerülni őket.
Not only become humans.
Nem csak azért, hogy emberi lények kíváljuk.
But by continually chanting the holy names of the Lord, one will someday automatically develop all good qualities.
Hanem azért, hogyha így ki tudunk tartani, és énekeljük tovább az Úr Szent nevét, akkor egy nap, hogy bakták elválunk, akkor automatikusan megnyilvánnak ezek.
And if one associates with not envious Vaishnavas, all good qualities will come.
És hogyha társulunk olyan baktákkal, akik nem irigyek, akkor minden jó tulajdonság meg fog nyilvánulni.
Just as Magari had his association with Narada Muni, developed all good qualities and didn't want to cause pain to anyone. In the same way, by associating with devotees, then gradually, yasyasti bhaktir, one can develop all good qualities. And even come to the platform of great Vaishnavas, which are given in our Shastra. Like Haridas Pandit, he is given as a great Vaishnava. Raghunath Das Goswami. Haridas Pandit is described, what was his quality? He was Adosha Darshi. Adosha Darshi. What does Adosha Darshi mean? He can't see any faults. He can't see it. Amazing. Imagine coming to that platform, you can't see any faults. But this is what a Vaishnava is. He's non-envious. Doesn't look for faults. Although sometimes it may be necessary to point out faults. Prabhupada even said about himself, forgive me, sometimes I have to do this, but it's my duty, I have to point out faults. How can a spiritual master teach unless he points out faults? But he was never relishing it. And he was always controlled. His mind was always controlled. His tongue was always controlled. He was never in any way happy to see his disciple suffer. This is not enviousness. A non-envious person can think of others' welfare. A non-envious person can think of others' welfare. So we should try to hear about what Vaishnavas are. And at the same time, practice ahimsa. And be very careful to not commit violence towards other living beings. This is a little bit about ahimsa. And as Prabhupada said in his purport, in when he talked about ahimsa, Prabhupada said, he defines ahimsa, non-violence means that one should not do anything which will put others into misery. Or confusion. And therefore he also defines ahimsa, which means to elevate people to the spiritual platform. That is ahimsa. Any questions?
Krishna is very kind to devotees because he takes everything from the devotee.
elhagyják a rokonai barátaik, és aztán mégsem arról beszélnek.
Their friends and relatives left the devotee.
És hogy hogy ez az erőszak, ez hogy született?
And it seems this is something himsa, and how this is the law.
This is what? Ahimsa?
It's not ahimsa to do this. And how would you understand that this is actually love from Krishna's side, that he take everything and
yes,
do this with the devotee?
This is not ahimsa?
It seems that it's
not ahimsa?
It's not ahimsa because the devotee lose everything and everybody left him. And
well, it may seem that way, but that's not the right perspective. What? Is it ahimsa to help somebody to remember Krishna? And Krishna specifically says, I do this because he'll have nothing left to depend on except me. Isn't that ahimsa? Nothing less. Except to think of me. And in fact, in the verse, Tate Nukampam Sushamikshamano Bhujana Evatma Kirtam Vipakam Hidvagmar Vapavir Viranam Namaste Jiveta Yomukti Pade Sadayabak. One who sees that everything that happens to me is Krishna's mercy. Krishna's so kind that he's doing this to make me, to help me to think of him. And Krishna's so kind that I can take the responsibility myself and still remember him. Krishna's so kind that I can take the responsibility for the sufferings on myself and at the same time still remember him. That such a person certainly becomes a bona fide candidate for liberation. So that's Krishna's mercy. And Krishna's mercy is always for the benefit of the recipient. Of course, Prabhupada says something in the eighth, an interesting point in the eighth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Basically, what he says is, when Krishna is particularly kind or merciful towards his devotee, he takes everything away from his devotee. And he says, but sometimes he gives his devotee special mercy. And he says, the special mercy is he lets his devotee keep it and he doesn't become proud. That's special mercy. Doesn't become proud. Because pride is so destructive. Even it is the same, pride comes before the fall. One who is proud, Lord Shiva told it to Parvati. All the six qualities of may be manifest. He describes these qualities, but one who finds fault with a Vaishnava, he'll certainly fall from his position because of his pride. So sometimes Krishna's special mercy, he lets the devotee keep everything and doesn't become proud. But that's also his mercy. That's Krishna. Always does everything for his devotee to help his devotee remember him. Does that answer your question? Can I keep on going? I don't know. Who do I ask? Huh? Uh-huh. Last question. Okay.
Speaking about ahimsa, so one other type of violence could be if somebody falls on the street and you don't pick them up, then that could also be violence. So there's so many millions and billions of people on the planet, but we can't help everybody through by giving everybody Krishna consciousness. Like just by walking along the street, we walk past so many people. But would that also be considered violence towards them by not helping?
You want to make the question heard to others? You want to repeat the questions for the others?
Hogy az volt, hogy nem segítjük valakinek a legkifejlődését, akkor az erőszak, és hogy annyi millió ember van a Földön, vagy milliárd ember van a Földön, és nem tudunk mindenkinek segíteni. Hogyha például megyünk az utcán, és annyi ember mellett elmegyünk, és nem adjuk át mindenkinek a Krisna-tudatot, akkor az is egy erőszak?
No, that is not considered violence. I don't want to. Devarshi putatam ninam patrinam nam kinkaronayam anicharajam sarvatmane yasharanam sharanyam katomu kuntam parihichikartum. That anyone surrenders to Krishna, he is no longer obliged to anyone else, not the demigods, forefathers, people in general, humanity. Of course, sometimes devotees abuse that verse also. I'm surrendered to Krishna, I'm not obliged to anyone else. We have to be careful as well. But the point is, a devotee never becomes happy to see others in pain. He is paradukaduki. He sees others' pain as his own. And when he walks down the street, he knows that everyone's suffering. What can he do? Everyone's atma pamina savatra, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. He compares others to himself in both his happiness and distress. So the best service he can render to others is to take shelter of the instructions of Guru and Krishna and take part in the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And whatever capacity he takes part, he is being merciful to everyone. But he should want to take part. And don't lose that valuable chance. That's the best service he can render to everyone. Just as the Bhagavatam verse says, by watering the root of the tree, then branches, leaves, twigs are all simultaneously nourished. So to answer your question, no. It is not violence. But if there's something we can do to relieve others' suffering, we certainly we should try to help them. Others. We'll end here.